You must be born again. You know, we are used to hearing that said. Do we really think about it? Do we really understand it? I appreciated the passage out of John 14 that Brother David shared, and then our Sunday school lesson out of John. You know, John is so full of. Of course, the whole Bible is, but there's something about John that it just really speaks. And when we think of being born again, I had chosen to read a very familiar passage here this morning. If you want to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and it talks about this in the first couple of verses. You know, Nicodemus, he came to Jesus, this was a whole new concept to him. He said, how can this be? And Jesus laid it out, explained it very clearly there to him. Here in Colossians, Paul talks about what happens to the person that is born again, that is born from above. We're just going to read down through verse 17, then make some comments on the passage. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime, when ye walked in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And he starts off there. He says, if ye then be risen with him, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. He says, because you are dead if you have risen. Born from above. If the old flesh is crucified, that is died. And we're risen. We've been born again in newness of life. And you know, we have a baptismal service coming up that we're looking forward to. And if you think of, and I'd like for all of us to think about your conversion experience. You know, what has changed? What is different? If you go back before and then after. If nothing has changed, are you really born again? Has that old Adamic nature died? You know, it's not something that's just going to go away. It's something we've got to deal with. But where do we set our affections? You know, when a bride is expecting the groom to show up for a visit. You know, everything becomes subservient to that expected visit. You know, what is she going to wear? What food is she going to prepare? And what condition is the house in? You know, she somewhat goes on living, but this upcoming visitor has her full attention, and rightly so. There's a lot at stake. If he comes and no one acts like it's any big deal, yeah, he may change his mind about his future. How does Christ, what does he see when he looks at his bride, the church? Are you anticipating his coming? He says, when Christ, who is our life, you know, is he your life? Is he real in your life? Is it evident to those who you associate with? You know, I had to think of that song. Would men know you've been with Jesus? It's in both of our hymnals, actually. Could they see it by your walk, by your action, by your words, by your... Do men know? Well, Paul goes on with... He gives a couple lists that we need to... The first one, he says, to mortify, or the second one, to put off. The first one, the first list there relates to sexual sins. You know, Jesus took the law to a whole new level. He brought it to a heart level. You know, he put lust and looking at the same level as the actual sin. What we listen to, what we watch, what we feed on. Are we filling ourselves with the word, with the manna, with the things that he gives? Are we feeding ourselves with the things that this world offers? Then he goes on to give us a list of things to put off. Maybe just more of the common, everyday things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. You know, has your walk with Christ changed these emotion-based feelings we deal with to some degree, greater or lesser? Do your little siblings, do they fear to cross your path at certain times? Has your language changed? You know, when you smash your finger, what happens? When you're hurriedly trying to get lunch on and you accidentally knock something to the floor and it spills all over. Worst case scenario, if it's oil, cooking oil or something like that. Flour is easier to clean up. What happens? That floor that you just mopped yesterday. What about when that last spike that should have been the winning point to an almost tied game hits the wall instead of the floor? What comes out? You know, it's most likely what you've been filling yourself with, what you've been feeding on. And if we drop down to verse 16, it gives us the answer to where we find the power to have victory in those areas. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, how are we going to be able to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly if we spend very little time in it? You know, it's what we fill ourselves with that dictates what comes out. Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then verse 37, he says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So maybe we think it doesn't really matter, but it does matter, because it's what's in there that comes out. You know, we may think we can watch something that has a little foul language on it, or an illicit scenes, or we can read books with the same and not be affected. You know, that's not me. I just read on over that. But you know, that is going to affect us. Jesus speaks very clearly to that. He says, if we have died to self and are risen with him, that will bring a change. And to change, we'll have to focus on putting on the list that he gives us there in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you know, one way to do that, to let that word of Christ dwell in us richly, is to is what you're doing right here this morning. Engage in the service. The youth coming here this morning and singing. The Sunday school hour. Just to be here, to engage, to listen. You know, if you can come, you can be here, you can spend all day in this service, and you can get very little out of it if you choose to do that. And it may be that you don't really care for the speaker or the way he speaks or what he says, but you know what? If it's coming from the Word of God, it doesn't really matter. If you can listen to the Word, you can still get a lot out of the service. But you can not, it wasn't that long ago I was sitting in these front benches. You can be there. You can let your mind wander. You can think about where that, how that big buck, what his pattern might be, and what you can strategize and figure out where to get to the right place to be there at the right time. You know, you can focus on a lot of other things. You can let your mind wander and not get anything out of the service. But that's not doing what he's saying we need to do, to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I'd like to leave a challenge with you. If you have your phone along, you know, leave that. Make sure those notifications are turned off. If you don't need it, I'd highly recommend you leave it outside. You know, take notes. Take questions home. Things that stood out to you. Share it with your family. You know, I've never asked Jonathan how long he spends in sermon preparation on an average. But I'm guessing it's on an average. It could be easily 5 to 8 hours of actual sitting down study, and there's a lot of other time that goes into it, but are you willing to give however much time he takes, 45 minutes more or less, whatever it is, to listen to what God is going to share with you this morning? To listen to the things that time has been put into to put together? That many minutes of undistracted time to listen to what God has for you this morning. Then again, I'd like to leave the challenge. You know, spend time reading the Word. Fill yourselves with the Word of Christ. Don't leave anyone in doubt where your allegiance is. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then when Christ, I love the way it says it, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Let's bow our heads for prayer.